Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is Bleav and Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network.
Scored a touchdown earlier on a direct snap. Now it's Michelle's turn, running all the way. Gets to the edge. Sonny Michelle will send the Dogs home to the championship game.
53 and a half yard drive near hash, kick right, snap, hold, kick is away, it's reaching, and it is good, 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 Hot Pod does it, all right, Hot Pod.
Wilcox with an up and out, wide open, touchdown, Israel Truth.
What is up? What is up? What is up? It is the Bleav in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network. Back to you on Brinks TV. Joining me is a guy that's extremely jealous of that magical white stuff that falls from the sky. Israel, do you wish that you were making and building snowmen here in Nashville, Tennessee?
Oh, the lies you tell. I do not want any of the white stuff you saw falling from the sky today.
I think you got frostbite just looking at my pictures that I sent you today. I was peppering yes. you. I made sure to pepper you.
It was sunshine and 65 here, so I'm totally okay with that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to get all the way up to 9 degrees tomorrow.
No way. It's supposed to be like 11 or like 12 degrees in Atlanta tonight, so I'm glad I'm in South Georgia.
There you go. Get below that gnat line, right? So, welcome in. It's feels like it's been a while. We've been on Christmas break, and we had some scheduling things happening, and now we're back with you on Brinks TV. Glad to be back. Our great clock has made its return, so that thing is ticking at 45 minutes, so it's going to keep you and I on track, or more so me than anything. I'm usually the one that gets off track. But if you want to follow us on social media, it is scrolling right on below us. If you want to subscribe, find us on YouTube, find us on Twitter, find us on Facebook, find us everywhere on social media. Just hit us up. I'm sure if you keep your eyes peeled, you'll see us. We are brought to you by Bet Online. They have you covered with all of the impending NFL playoff games, of course, NBA and boxing, UFC, NHL, whenever they get cranked back up, and all your favorite casino games. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all sports action this year. So what you need to do is head over to the website. You can do it on your mobile device. Also, sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use that promo code BLEAV. That's BLEAV to receive that bonus. Again, if you want to make all your bets, if you want to play some casino games, if you're a blackjack type of person, or if you like to play roulette, I don't know how online roulette works, but I imagine it's a lot of fun. If you want to play craps, I ventured into that. I'm terrible, so I didn't stay there very long. But It is the fastest, easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing new offers. Bet online. It's where the game starts. Israel, are you going to bet on any playoff games, any NFL playoff games?
I think I might dabble in the NFL games a little bit. I'm debating on dabbling into our game, but I'll see how that goes as we get closer to it.
I don't know if I'm that brave, but maybe I am. Yeah. I don't know. But we're going to talk about it. We're going to give you every avenue of this game coming up. But we'd be remiss if we didn't review the Orange Bowl. What the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll be real quick here. Not much ugly from this game. So the good and the bad, mostly. I think obviously the good was the offensive line. They played outstanding. Stetson Bennett was on fire. The game plan was great. Our defense played with a nasty attitude. Anything I'm leaving out, Israel?
No. And we actually won the football game, even though we were predicted to lose, which most people don't know that, unless you were kind of looking at the spreads or anything like that. We're actually predicted to lose that game. But to come out and put out, you know, the offensive production, the defensive production that we did, against a really, let's not be remiss now. Michigan was the number two team in the nation. They're a really good football team. And if we were in the BCS era, they would be playing for a national championship. So we just came out and showed everybody that's why we were number one for so long and that we are the better team to be playing Alabama.
What made our offensive line just play so much better?
I think they just got tired of everybody doubting them up until the Alabama game. They've been so, I would say, dominant. You know, we can throw when we want to. We can run when we want to. And like everybody said, we got exposed, even in ways that Alabama really didn't pressure us. But we just made a lot of bonehead mistakes, broke down in pressure, didn't stay on blocks in that game. So I think they were out to prove a point, and they proved it astronomically. Shut down two of the best pass rushers in the nation, both going to be first-round picks. So, I mean, you can't expect more from an offensive line than the performance they had in the Orange Bowl.
Absolutely. Well, we look at the bad, which was not very much, but one of the things I noticed that I picked up on was occasionally we lose contain on the quarterback, which in the grand scheme of things didn't really make much of a difference in this game, but it's a habit that you don't want to see coming into this week because Bryce Young will make you pay. What could this defense do better as far as staying in their rush lanes? What do you think that, how do you think they try to contain and pressure and get in Bryce's face all at the same time?
I'm with you with that. I think we got out of contain a little bit, but those times that we got, you know, out of contain, we didn't hit the quarterback. We didn't touch it. You know, I'm totally fine with being aggressive. I think we did a really good job of mixing pressures, mixing zone, mixing man. On defense, something that we're going to have to do on Monday against Alabama. So I'm not mad about that. The only thing, like you said, the bad for me is not hitting the quarterback when we do. We were getting back there. I think the one time that McNamara had the big run in the first quarter kind of gave him life a little bit, but we quickly sucked that away from him. But we can't do that with Bryce Young. He's able to make plays on the run. He's able to make plays with his feet. He does this little option thing with his receivers. So we have to be aware of that. But at this point, you know, I'm fine with being aggressive, but we just got to get the quarterback on the ground. That's the bad for me. And first quarter, we didn't get him on the ground enough. And then I think we made up for it later on in the game.
Exactly. And the ugly was the targeting calls. I guess if you wanted to put an ugly on there, Chris Smith, well, that one was textbook targeting. So, but luckily he's back. Yeah. And then Chaz Chambliss, that one was a shake your head bad.
Yeah. I mean, the Smith call was bang, bang. I mean, he ducked his head true enough, but I mean, he's going in to make a tackle. I mean, you know, of course they're taught to keep their head up, but you know, sometimes as you're going in, you know, you duck your head. I mean, it happens, you know, but I don't think it was violent enough to be called, to be considered targeting. But the Chambliss call was complete BS in my opinion. I mean, he hit the ball. I mean, he's obviously going to hit the football. You know, you can tell by the way he was going to tackle. So I think that's, they're going to have to review that rule. I think if you're going to make a tackle with the intent to bring the ball carrier down, you know, I get they're trying to protect it, but I mean, it's football at the end of the day. You know, yeah. He punches that ball loose, we get the ball, we go punch another one, another score in, you know.
Well, J.J. McCarthy gets destroyed by Quay Walker earlier in the game on the same type of tackle. They didn't call anything, which was great.
Yeah. And the only thing that he did right was that he moved his head out of the way.
Yeah.
That he did do.
Yeah, so he did really well on that. But we're going to put a nice little bow on this game. We're going to move on into the national championship in Indy. We got a lot of matchups to talk about. Let's flip it over. Let's talk about when Georgia is on offense going up against Alabama's defense. To me, you know, I think you've got it. The biggest thing is obviously the O-line play is going to be extremely important. But I think you have to win first down. You know, that's going to be the most important down for Georgia's offense. You win first down, you stay on schedule, you keep Bama off schedule, you keep them off balance. If you lose first down, now you're stuck behind the chains a little bit. Now your plan changes and you start to turn Stetson into more of a pocket passer, which is not good. So, you know, what else do you see this Georgia offense? What are some of the keys?
We got to mix up first down. By that, I mean, we got to mix up the pass and we got to mix up the throw, the pass and the run. You know, play action on first down would be good, especially if you just came off a series where you ran the ball. You got to stay out of second and long, third and long. And by long, I mean second and six, third and six, you know, and plus. Because in that point, defenses know you have one option. You know, you can still run the ball, yeah. But the most defenses are predicated on getting you in third and long, second and long situations so you can do what? Throw the football so they can do what?
Pin their ears pressure. and most defenses are going to call, when you look at second and long, that's the perfect run blitz because you throw it on a lot of coaches. And I see this, and I've been guilty of it, and I'm sure you have too as an offensive coordinator. You throw on first down, and you follow it up with a base run on second down just to get some yards. That's perfect opportunity for coaches to run blitz that. And so if you can kind of take advantage of that and maybe go against the grain a little bit, I think you can be in good shape there.
Yes, I think we did a good job of throwing on first down, whether it was complete or incomplete, and throwing a screen behind it. You know, that's the way you get away, especially when they're doing those run blitzes, you know, or come back to a pass, go two passes straight, you know, kind of getting third and manageable. Now you got, you can either run it or you can pass it, you know, things like that. Just like you said, to keep them off balance. Because if you let one of the best defensive minds over there, I know he has a defensive coordinator, but we all know who's the brains of the operation over there.
Yeah, it's not Pete Golding, I can tell you that.
If you let him figure it out, then he's gonna pick you apart. Yeah. You know, so you have to be smart. You know, you can't. I don't think we're coaching against Nick Saban. We're coaching against Alabama. So you have to see what they do and not try to beat Nick Saban.
Right. You just got to go out and play ball at the end of the day, and just you do what you do. Do what Stetson can do. And I mean, I think, you know, that 13 personnel package in the bunch, I think there's a lot of good things you can do from that. I think moving Brock Bowers around, I thought putting him at left tackle was brilliant on that first touchdown. Just things like that to kind of keep things off kilter on balanced looks, motions, screens, you know, things like that. And I thought Georgia did a much better job of that against Michigan, with not only the receivers and not only Brock Bowers, but the running backs as well, with James Cook and Zeus and Kenny McIntosh, things like that. And I thought they were able to hit the trick play because they were successful in running counter. I just, you know, things open up when you're able to run a little bit and when you're able to just kind of be a little bit more dynamic. So, you know, I think
go ahead.
I was going to say, that's why winning first down so important.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I think one thing that we're going to have to do against Alabama is spread them out. I love 13 personnel, but in that 13 personnel, let's use all four receivers, all four receivers spread out. You know, go doubles, go trips with them, you know, bunch them up, you know, out in space a little bit, because we all know if you get the ball in Brock Bowers' hand, he can take to the house. We all know that Washington is as tall as anybody you've ever seen.
He's an NBA player playing football. I mean, that's ridiculous.
So, you know, give those guys the ball in space and make Alabama tackle. They're not really good at tackling in space. They have missed a couple. You know, if you go back and watch Texas A&M, the first half against Auburn and Florida, and you go watch those games, they have trouble tackling, you know, tackling in space. So, you know, you go back and analyze those games and kind of see what they did, kind of pick apart, you know, what you do in your offense to kind of match what they did and kind of, you know, do it that way. But, you know, let's spread them out, you know, give Stetson, you know, a running opportunity too. You know, let him go ahead and take that first lick, go and get it over with, you know, and let's see how well our offensive line is going to do against their defensive line.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you look at personnel wise, I mean, you've got to, now you got George Pickens healthy. What are you saving for at this point? You got to unleash the beast, man. You got to get George Pickens involved in it. He's a great deep ball guy, tough, physical, you know, is a perfect slant guy and just a bear to tackle, man. And if you can get him involved some, I think that'd be great. Jermaine Burton, I think, is finally kind of coming back into the picture. And A.D. Mitchell had a great game against Michigan. So I think those are some guys that you could probably get involved in the passing game with different things, intermediate stuff and, you know, short, quick stuff. I think in the RPO game, you can do some stuff with Pickens and really kind of get yourself in some good situations. So, but let's talk about running backs a little bit, Israel. I mean, Zeus, James Cook, Kenny McIntosh, I think are three guys that have to be involved in. And I think Todd Monken's done a great job all year long of taking advantage of what those guys are good at. And I don't see that change in here against Alabama the second time around. No. I mean, early on, we were able to run the ball. So
yes, we were, and we got away from it. And I think that was our downfall in the ball game. I think we panicked. We hit the panic button way too soon. I was just telling one of our coaches today, I said, you go down 14 points. I mean, yeah, it's 14 points, but at the end of the day, you score a touchdown, you're down by seven. Well, that gives you momentum, right? Your defense goes out there and get a stop. Guess what? They punt the ball. Now you can go down and catch up. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we just can't panic.
No, especially early in the third quarter. I mean, there's so much football to be played.
Exactly.
You can't do that.
Continue to use James Cook. Mm-hmm. You know, that they used him to perfection in the ball game against Michigan. You know, continue to use McIntosh, continue to use Zeus. I love the way McIntosh is used on screens. Threw a beautiful ball to Mitchell for that touchdown.
Quarterback controversy. Yeah.
Continue to use those guys the way you've used them. You know, Zeus is going to get you those hard 2-3 yards when it's needed. So, you know, just keep doing what you do. Do the things that got you to this point. We showed that in the Michigan game. So let's continue to do that and not get scared, because that's what we are. We're scared. We were scared in the championship game.
Yeah. And it's, again, just play aggressive. Just have that mindset. Go a little tempo a little bit too. I saw that against Michigan. So you get a first down, go tempo.
I know, use all your bullets, baby. Use all of them.
Don't hold nothing back, man. Don't hold anything back.
Hold nothing back,
man. It's what you got to do. And last thing offensively, I think when you look at the offensive line and you look up front, you've got to figure out a way to neutralize Will Anderson. I thought relatively we did a good job of that the first go around. He wasn't as much of a factor as he could have been. He still was. But I think the plan that they had to eliminate Aiden Hutchinson and Acho from Ojabo, not Acho. Acho is a commentator on ESPN from Texas. Ojabo, the other defensive end for Michigan. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Georgia did a great job with screens, RPOs, and then just running right at them. Did a great job of neutralizing those guys. I think Will Anderson obviously is a much better player than either of those two guys. But when you look at neutralizing them, you've got to just keep those guys guessing. You got to keep them on the move. You cannot let them get a beat on you, because if you do, they're going to go right up under your tackle and they're going to hit Stetson.
Yep. Like I said, watch the tape. Florida ran up and down the field on them. Texas A&M had a really good game plan. Arkansas, Auburn. Look at those tapes, and they did a great job of running right at Will Anderson. They showed that they weren't scared of him, and they ran right at him. That's one thing we did this past week against Michigan. We ran right at those two and showed them that we weren't scared of them. So, you know, you got to be a great. We got the guys. We got Van Pran back, which was huge in the Michigan game. So, I mean, let's just go out here and play ball. Let's be aggressive. That's what I want to say. I just want to say is be aggressive. And if we start beating them, we beat them and just don't let them come back.
Right. Just keep your foot on the gas. Don't get conservative.
Keep trying to score points.
Yeah.
And don't be dumb.
Yeah. Don't just take care of the football. Understand, Stetson, even if you get down by 14, there is no, I haven't seen it yet. Maybe this is a rule change, Israel, but there's not a 14 point play in football.
No, not at all.
I haven't seen one. I don't know. There might be one, but I haven't. Just like, it might be like the old, you might be too young for this. It might be like the old school rock jock basketball games from MTV where they had the 50 point hoop like way up in there. I haven't seen that in college football yet, but that would be kind of fun if they did that.
I do remember that.
Yeah. So just be patient. Be patient, be aggressive, keep your foot on the gas. Now let's freaking go, man. Let's freaking go. Now let's flip it over. Alabama's got the ball now. Bryce Young, you have Robinson, who is healthy at running back. Brian Robinson, who's healthy at running back now. They leaned on him heavily in their semifinal game. John Metchie is obviously out, but it doesn't matter. They get Jameson Williams. Two guys are going to have to, three guys that are really have to step up in Metchie's absence and kind of, I guess, collectively pick up that production is going to be Slade Bolden, who absolutely killed us in the SEC championship. Ja'Cory Brooks and Jahleel Billingsley, I think, are three names that have to, for Alabama, step up in this game if they want, I don't want to say have a chance, but if they want to win this game and put up points. So to do that, Israel, again, you know, we said it at the top of the show. We did a great job of getting after Michigan. We have to continue to do that against Alabama. You have to have a more controlled yet aggressive rush against Bryce Young. You've got to get pressure in his face. You've got to get your hand up, bat a few balls down. Whatever you can do to get his eyes down is going to be the key. Because if you can hit him, knock him down, he'll start looking down at that rush. He's a great player, Heisman Trophy winner, one of the best in college football, but he's still just a freshman. He's still just a kid. He's not immune to getting hit. You know, he looked down a little bit at Cincinnati's rush. They were getting back there so fast. You know, and we'll get to Cincinnati maybe here in a little bit with whatever extra time we have left over. But that game was, you know, Cincinnati again showed if you have a good aggressive fast pass rush that contains well, you can get to Bryce Young, and he's not as effective. I mean, he still made a few dime throws, but he's not as effective with that. Now, unfortunately for them, they gave up what felt like 300 yards rushing. I don't know the official stats, but they gave up all these rushing yards to Robinson. But I thought they had a great defensive game plan. The key for this Alabama team, more so than any other Alabama team, like last year's Alabama team could score on 12 plays just as easily as they could score on one. Like, it didn't matter. This year's team, I feel like if you make them work a little bit, they don't have the same capability. They don't have the same level of offense that they normally do.
Yes, and that's exactly what I was getting to. This team right here, with a young quarterback, young offensive line, a lot of inexperience in a couple of places, you know, they're not just going to be like, okay, this is what we're doing and you have to stop it. It's more of, what are you doing and how can we exploit you? Well, they exploited us last game. Reason being, we play zone. We had people not in the right places, had boarded spots, people running wide open. We're giving up cushion. We're not getting hands on receivers, you know, things like that. We're playing patty cake with their offensive line. So, you know,
but hey, moment gets too big for him, pissed down their leg.
So, you know, he throws for half a century on us, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, hey, it is what it is, you know? Now, what do we do to adjust? If it's me, and this is just me just thinking out loud, I'm playing cover zero. I'm playing about 2 yards off their receivers, no matter how many they have, and I'm not letting them inside of me. He's going to have to throw fade balls all day and hope that they catch him, right? And I'm putting four down, three down, however we do it, closing every gap, and I'm sending everybody at Bryce Young. You're going to have to block. They're going to have to block seven people every single time. I don't care. You're just going to have to prove to me that you can beat me by me doing that. One, I stopped the run. One thing that Cincinnati didn't do, they left three people's hand in the dirt. Well, Alabama figured it out. Well, I can block three or five. So guess what? We're going to run the football. You know, and that was their Achilles heel. Now, if they adjust a little bit, then we never know. It might be in a closer game. Cincinnati may have pulled it off. We all know. But what they did do a good job of is getting to Bryce Young, frustrating him, frustrating the receivers, and getting Bryce Young on the ground. The offense didn't help them, but their defense did a really good job of holding Alabama for as long as they could before the dam broke.
Yeah, offense played scared. Offense played like Desmond Ridder was Peyton Manning back there, which he's not. I love Desmond Ridder. He's a great quarterback, but he's not a pocket guy. He's not a stand there and like a statue and just pick your part type guy. This is not what he is. It's not what Stetson is either. You got to get him involved in the run game. Got to get the ball out quick. You got to get, you know, you just got to move and keep these guys. You got to get their head spinning, which that first series where they scripted it was great.
Yes.
They stalled out, unfortunately, but they rolled right down the field.
Yeah, and you got to look at Alabama's not as dominant defensively as they normally are, too. There's not really a secondary guy that you're like, oh, crap, like I don't want to throw near that guy. You know, there's not a linebacker. You're just like, ooh, I'm afraid of him. They got Will Anderson. Now, they have some really good players up front. Don't get me wrong. There's no standout player on that defense like they normally have.
Right.
So I mean, that tells you something right there.
It's Will Anderson and that's it. I mean, you know, you can point to some production, but it's spotty. Like Fildarian Mathis, great player, just hasn't been consistent this year. Helms, Jordan Battle, the two safeties. Yeah. I think very, very highly of them. Obviously those are the best two players in the secondary. Stetson made those guys look like all Americans. They've been inconsistent for Alabama, especially on deep balls. So I think if you can strike them, I think that's the way to go. Offensively, you know, they've had trouble in some games getting the ball to Jameson Williams. Like LSU, they scored 20 quick points and then they stalled. They couldn't get anything going. Fortunately for them, neither could LSU. And LSU squandered so many opportunities in that game.
Yes.
I think Arkansas rallied a little too late type scenario there. I think Arkansas was a little shell shocked coming out of the gates, and then I think when they settled in, they played really good football. But it was again just too late. Auburn played great for 59 minutes and went into conservative mode, and they allowed Bryce Young to pick him apart, and he did.
And a whole 1 minute drill.
Oh God, man. It's like that.
He didn't
even
need 2 minutes.
That was so frustrating to watch. That was, you know, I'm like, come on, Derek Mason, you've been hitting this guy all game long and now you're going to get conservative. Come on, man.
All game long. Jeez. And that's what we have to do. We have to let Wyatt and Jordan Davis and Nolan Smith, all those guys, McCovey, all those guys have got to go. And part of my French, knock the hell out of this kid and make him realize that this is the real SEC. This is how, that is what Texas A&M did. That is what Auburn did for a whole 59 minutes. That's what Florida did. That's what all these teams that's been on the ropes with them. And they took in and they beat them. This is what they did. They hit him often, and confused them a little bit. I think my personal opinion is that we're not really good at playing zone right now, other than your basic cover four or cover three.
We are terrible, you know, at combo coverage.
We're trying to mix, you know, play two on one side, three, cover six, cover five, all these other things, sky, cloud, all this stuff.
And you know what happens, Israel? You know what happens when we play zone? We get passive because we're thinking too much. We're like, okay, you know, we don't want to be wrong. So we're just going to sink back and just let everything happen in front of us. Next thing you know, it's third and 16 and we're, you know, we call cover 7 and freaking Latavius Marini doesn't know what to do.
Are 20 yards off and corners are at 10, just sitting.
They run a 16 yard curl route. We just watch the dude catch it in front of us.
Yeah. If they were going to make a tackle. No,
I mean, you've got to, you know, against Alabama, you've got to control the line of scrimmage and you got to control the cylinder to the defense. I mean, slants, digs, post routes, like everything they do, aside from a few go balls, everything that they do attacks that the cylinder of the defense, the middle zone of the defense, the middle third, whatever, however you want to describe it, however you want to call it. Every coach is different, but however you want to call it, that's what Alabama likes to attack. You watch that game, Slade Bolden, dig after dig after dig for first down. Seams with Latu, the tight end. Billingsley ran what, like if you listen to the Titans games on the radio, which I'm sure you don't because you're in South Georgia, but Dave McGinnis, who is a former NFL head coach, is the color analyst for Titans Radio, and he talks about, he calls these transcontinental routes where, you know, you're going from one side to the other. So, you know, Bama likes to do those, the Y cross routes and stuff like that. So if you can, you know, even if you mix up 0-1 and do some variations of 1 and pattern match 4, which cover 4 with the new, with the new philosophy on defense of pattern matching and reading number 2, reading through number 2, has really just become off man. Mm-hmm. Is what cover 4 really is. It's just off man. You just don't have a defined cat. You just kind of let it unfold and then you jump the routes as they unfold. Yes. That's the only difference.
Which is what we're good at. Jump that route right there. There he is. Get it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think what they're going to do is they're going to mix up their route combos. They're going to find 16 because they know they can get him to take the cheese. Like Alabama, all the success they've had offensively, they've always found our one safety that always takes the cheese. Dominic Sanders in the title game, the last go around 2017, he took the cheese on second 26. They threw it right over his head, right where he was supposed to be for a touchdown game winner. So they're going to find that safety that's undisciplined, that's going to be overly aggressive and try to bite down on that low crosser. And then they're going to run something right behind him. They'll set him up. Just watch. They'll set him up. And he did a great job in the Michigan game. Michigan tried it, didn't bite on it. And they actually ate the ball. McNamara ate the ball.
And we're going to have to be really physical at corner. We can't get free releases. I don't care what you say. We just can't let these guys get up on us. I think Kendrick and Ringo are very, very good corners, very NFL caliber corners. But we can't let them. Kendrick's been to the show before. He knows. I think he is the only person on the team that's been to the show. So he knows. He knows how it works. He's played in 3. This is the 3rd one he's played in, so he knows. I think Ringo, we have to be physical with him. I mean, he's a big kid. We're playing off coverage with him. He's a big physical corner. Come up and let's play ball.
Right. Get in JMO's face. Match up with him, and let's roll.
Yes, and then up front, we've got to get to the quarterback. I think we got to be gap sound because they've established that they're trying to run the football. Let's take that away. All right, now we take the run away. Now we know what can they do. Pass. Now we can send it. We can bend our ears back and come get the quarterback.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, I think overall game plan, you know, I think you got to be aggressive. You got to come after him, both sides of the ball. You've got to win. You've got to win first down, both sides of the ball. You've got to get him in second, third, and long. You've got to get hands in the faces. You have to dictate the tempo of the game. The team that's going to be able to do that is going to be the team that holds up that whatever that trophy is at the end of the game. So,
and let's bat down some balls. You know, I watched Alabama, I think it was like 6 or 7 balls were batted down in the Cincinnati game. You know, let's bat down some of their balls. Get hands. If you can't get to the quarterback, at least get in his face and put your hands up and bat the ball down. Let's do that.
Yeah, because it's so demoralizing when you have a wide open play and all of a sudden that ball's going backwards. Yes. Because somebody got their big paw up and got it. So,
and we all know our linebackers can catch. I mean, Nakobe Dean had a, 37-yard interception return against Florida. So, I mean, our linebackers are very athletic. So, you know, they can catch the ball if it's popped in the air.
I mean, if you don't, at this point, if you don't think Nakobe Dean is athletic, you ain't watching our games. Yes. I mean,
Jordan Davis scores a touchdown, so he can handle the rock too. You know, let's get after it, boy. Let's get turnovers. That's one thing we didn't get in the SC Jamish game was a turnover. They got two.
So we got to get them takeaways. We got to take the ball away. We got to give it to Stetson, let him do his thing. So I think we talked about this Monday. We gave our prediction. Do you change anything about your prediction? Does the score go up? Does the score go down? You stick with it.
I'm sticking to my 30-27 score. I'm telling you, Alabama has a really good field goal kicker in Will Riker. I'm not taking anything from him, but he's going to miss two field goals in this game. He's going to. And that's going to be the deciding factor in this game. One of those is going to cost him. I just got that feeling that he's going to miss two of them.
I got 31-24.
I like that score too.
I got 31-24. I think there's a missed field goal in there somewhere with Riker, or maybe even a block. Maybe we even score on special teams. So my score prediction went down a little bit. I don't think it's going to be as high scoring as I once thought. So, well, we got about 11 minutes on the clock, Israel. I want to ask you this question. This is a hot button debate that's been happening on Twitter because of all the opt outs, because of everything happening. The bowl games are meaningless, right? However you want to take that, but are you in favor of expanding the playoff? What do you think of the current bowl system? What do you think about the current system? Do we need to expand it? If I said, Israel, you are the new commissioner of college football postseason, here you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard two really good takes, and then I'll tell you mine. The first take I heard was putting it back to the BCS. Well, let's look at that. Now you got Alabama playing Michigan. We all know what was going to happen with that situation. So let's just be real about that, right? So, but the good point of what this analyst was saying was that now all the bowls mean something. You know, it's not just, hey, it's to get to national championship because, hell, national championship's already being played by somebody. You know, it goes back to the old system of each bowl game means something. And to your point the other day, let's take out the meaningless bowls. I think if you don't win 7 to 8 games, I don't think you should go to a bowl game. I don't think 6-6, no matter if you're a struggling team that just happened to win a couple or not, that's not good enough to go to a bowl game. You know, the Duke's Mayo Bowl, no disrespect to the Mayo Bowl, because that was a really good game. But, I mean, those games played before, you know, at December 20th, those games, I don't think.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think that those games need to be played because now we're just handing out participation trophies. In my opinion.
I mean, if you want to have a bowl game that's played before Christmas and it features 2 8-win G5 teams, cool.
Yeah. Now, another good point that Nick Saban made, if you expand the playoffs, I can't remember. But anyway, if you expand the playoffs, now you run the risk of about 6 or 7 SEC teams being in the playoff, which guarantees that the national championship is going to be played by an SEC team, at least one of them.
So be it.
You know,
I mean, so you know, it's.
I'm with it. But at the same time, I would love to see, you know, the Cincinnati. I think Houston would have been a really good team to get in as well. As long as in my opinion, if we're going to do it, as long as everybody gets it right, whether it's 12, whether it's 8, as long as the rankings are correct, I'm okay with expanding it. I'm okay with expanding 12. I think 12 is a good number. So now you get all the teams, you get the Baylors, the Notre Dames, the Oklahoma States, all those guys.
You get the conference champion. You get the, you get the highest, you guarantee the highest rated G5 team. Right. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like playing top amateur at Augusta. You get invited back the next year. So if you finish as a group of five as the best team, your reward is you get a seat in the playoff. And then you just go highest ranked at large after that. And, you know, honestly, this year, there would have been three SEC teams in. Mm-hmm. That would have been it. Ole Miss would have been the third SEC team in. Utah's in. Ohio State's in. Oklahoma State's Oregon. In. Or Oregon's probably not in. Oklahoma State's in. Notre Dame is in. Cincinnati, obviously. Houston probably sneaks in there. Pitt gets in with that. Michigan State may have had a chance of getting in. So, like, you would have gotten some really good teams. Kenneth Walker probably wouldn't have opted out if he was in the playoff. Kenny Pickett definitely wouldn't have. So you would have gotten some really good matchups. I mean, you could think of all the different matchups from there of, you know, you get a Utah, you get a Utah-Oklahoma State, or you get a Utah-Georgia matchup. I mean, you know, that's a hell of a lot more difficult than Michigan-Georgia. You get some fun matchups. You get some competitive matchups. Plus, I think it expands recruiting, right? So you say the biggest fear is all these SEC teams are going to get in, right? Because those six or seven teams recruit, right? Mm-hmm. Well, now Utah has a leg to stand. Now they can recruit to the playoff. Now USC can recruit to the playoff. Now Wisconsin can recruit to the playoff. Now Michigan State, Baylor, Kansas State now can jump in that mix and recruit to it. Like, you got so many more teams that, like, these players could go to and still have a chance of getting into the playoff. They don't feel like they all have to flood to Alabama and Clemson and Georgia, which they're going to, you know, obviously they're going to get theirs because Georgia is a talent rich state. The Southeast is just what it is, man. It's full of talent. I mean, you got Georgia and Florida right there that are just loaded. You got the Carolinas, which people don't realize how loaded the Carolinas are. Then you got Alabama, Mississippi, which is, they don't have as many, but their top guys are really, really good. Tennessee is really good in some pockets like that. There's some really good guys in Memphis and Nashville and Knoxville. And then randomly in pockets outside of those areas. Kentucky's really good. Surprisingly, Ohio, you got some good talent. Texas obviously is what it is. Louisiana is what it is. So, I mean, you've got all these talent-rich states. You know, if six or seven SEC teams make it, you just got to recruit better. I mean, you know, there might be a year where six SEC teams make it. There might be a year where only two make it or one make it. You know, there might be a year where the Big 12 has a really good year. There might be.
I just think you get rid of it. I'm in favor if a player is going to be first round, early second round guy, and he feels like there's a chance that he might get hurt in the bowl game, that's not beneficial. If it's not a New Year's Six bowl or anything like that, I mean, I don't see a problem in him protecting himself. I think that's what people misconstrue. I think they think, oh, he's selfish, he's this. I'm sorry for protecting myself and my investment in myself. And the goal for me going to college and going to this school was to go to the NFL. You pay to see the university play football, not just me.
I never fault the kid. It's always I fault the system that allows the kid to want to.
There you go. That's the hammer. I'm the judge. That's it.
Right. It's the system of, now you've screwed up some of these, I hate saying lesser bowls, but it is what it is. These lesser bowls, you know, the expanded playoff, you know, that's one of the collateral damage pieces is, you know, the Gasparilla Bowl is going to have to live without inviting an SEC team. Probably they're going to like some of these bowls are just going to go away, which is fine. I don't need 20 bowls before Christmas. So
yeah, man, I'm good.
So like,
I love watching college football, but
I do too.
I don't need those.
And I think
at the same time, I think we take away from the fact that the guys who do play these bowl games, they play really hard. I think that's the part of me that's like, don't take the bowls away because it gives those younger guys a chance to show what they can do before spring ball and everything starts. So
I think they should get more bids to G5 guys. I think the G5 guys need to be showcased. I think you give the lesser bowls. I think it's got to be G5 only. Like, you can't have Central Michigan playing Oregon State.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have some Oregon State guys opt out, and it's going to be a crappy game. I think if you have two competitive G5 teams going at each other, I think you're going to have a really good football. Like, some of the best bowl games were G5 versus G5.
Yeah.
You know? And those were outstanding. Like, Wyoming-Kent State.
That was a really good
bowl. That game was incredible, right?
Really,
like,
good bowl.
Like, if you want to increase the number of bowls, I want to see more of those matchups. Mm-hmm. And then the P5 guys, like, if you don't make the playoffs, have a few extra bowls for, like, the eight, nine win teams to play each other as an exhibition, as a reward, and then just cut it off, and just, it's all G5 from there.
I can see that. But like I said, if you don't win eight, seven and five is good, because, I mean, all conferences are very competitive. I think you win seven games, you have a chance to go to a ball game.
Yeah.
I mean, I think going 6-6 is not, like I said, I'm not into handing out participation trophies, you know, but if you win seven ball games, I think you'd had a hell of a season.
Yeah, I think you got to win seven. If you don't win seven, which if you go 6-6, that's probably going to cut out 10 bowls right there.
Yeah,
which, you know, you go 500, that's not a bowl season. It is what it is, unless a team has to drop or whatever. It is what it is, man. That's,
oh yeah, and then if a team has to drop, now you get to add a couple of 6-6 teams in. That's how you do it.
Yeah, like, and you're not getting Wake Forest, Rutgers, which I'm sure Rutgers could have really enjoyed the experience, but yes. and
which for the first quarter and a half was a really good ball game.
Uh-huh. And then Wake Forest,
I think
they're tough, man. They're tough.
What's his name?
Shiano. Greg Shiano.
Yeah, Greg Shiano had Rutgers ready to play. You know, I think. I'm not taking anything away from those guys. They came in ready to play. They gave Wake Forest all they wanted that first quarter and a half. And then you can kind of tell, all right, let's go ahead and get this over with, guys.
Yeah, this is why Rutgers is Rutgers. So, and another topic to think about as our ticker goes down from 20 seconds or less, I'll make this last hot take. But what if you had like a G5 semifinal and you had two spots reserved for G5 and the big boy playoff, and the winner of the G5 semis got a seat at the table in the big boy tournament.
Now we're talking. I'll see you climbing that ladder. I'll see you.
Yeah. Like you would have probably gotten Coastal, Cincinnati, or Cincinnati, Houston, maybe. Or like maybe San Diego State.
Yeah, I think everybody deserves a shot. You know, I consider a D1 school like Cincinnati stuff. I consider those P5 schools still, but, you know.
Well, Cincinnati's going to be a P5 school in like a year or two.
Yeah, I'd lump them all together. I don't even think about all that stuff. You just taught me something new today just by listening to you. But
P5 and G5?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, got it. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
It's tiers. There's tiers of bowls. There's tiers of teams like CUSA and the Sun Fun Belt.
What if you have like the P5 championship and then the G5 championship? You know, just two separate championships. So now, since everybody wants to talk about commercials and stuff, you have a P5 game and then you have a G5 game right after.
I've been beating that drum for a while. Do it high school style, where you have different classifications. I've been beating that drum for a while. It'd be like having a 7A and 6A playoff.
Yeah. Now, guess what? There's more commercials. There's more opportunities to advertise. I mean, there's football for a while. I mean, and guess what? This championship is on Monday. Well, actually, the G5 championship game will be on Monday, and then let's play ours on Friday or Saturday.
Play it on Saturday, let's be honest.
We all know what's going to happen on Tuesday. People are going to be dragging in.
I know I'm going to be dragging in, that's for sure. Because
I'm watching that one till the clock hits zero.
Exactly. And I'm probably pacing back and forth the whole way. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm all in favor of going P5 tournament, G5 tournament, making it 24 teams, going FCS style, and just let's roll.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Let's roll. So, Well, our timer is up. It's like flashing at us now. So we're going to wrap this thing here. This has been a crazy, crazy season. It's been a great season. We're excited about Monday night. I think a lot of good things are going to happen. I'm hopeful that Georgia can pull it off against the Crimson Tide of Alabama. So, but we are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. You can find us just about anywhere on social media. Subscribe, comment, like us, hit that bell notification. It'll let you know when we're live. We stream other content on our channel as well. We do this thing called echoing. So there's a lot of other shows that come across our channel. So if you're interested in college football in general, just check out our channel. You'll probably get to see a lot of Southeastern football if you're into that type of thing. So that's what we got. So Israel, any last words?
Nope. Just let's just go out here. Let's win the damn thing. How about that? Let's just go out here and play Georgia football. Let's do what got us to this game. Let's go win the damn thing.
Let's go win the damn thing, Israel says. So with that, I'm gonna leave it at that. So for Israel Troop, I'm Corey Burton. This is the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast coming at you on the Believe Podcast Network at Brinks TV, presented by betonline.ag. Have a great weekend. Have a great Monday night. And Georgia, just win the damn thing. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.